Hey, Nelson, you talked about under the reason of fit. Sometimes they're just not a fit for your church, that you ought to examine your promotion. And so I thought it would be really good for us to unpack that, maybe some things that we could go back to our churches and really begin to examine what it is we're doing that may be giving off a wrong appearance.
Yeah, the best fit. I mean, that I started with that one. It's not the easiest one to teach, and hopefully, if you're listening to this bonus resource, you made it past that one. Of course, you wouldn't even still be listening if you didn't find something helpful. But that's a difficult one to start with, because the truth is, your church is not going to be able to reach everybody. And I have this belief, and I think it's a biblical belief, that your church is best equipped to reach a certain kind of person. And that generally is a certain type of age group, a certain type of demographic, a certain type of sociological status. And I'm not talking about color of skin or anything like that. But just for example, every church that I lead in the Journey Church Network is an English-speaking church. So by default, if you speak Spanish and you show up at our church and you have no comprehension of English, you're not going to be a good fit for us. It's not that you're a bad person. It's just that our church is probably not going to be able to help you. But now let's think about that. If I were to promote services in Spanish and Spanish people show up and I don't offer services in Spanish, I've done a disservice. In some of our larger services, we do American Sign Language. And there's always that one week where the interpreter doesn't show up. And boy, that's embarrassing because inevitably it seems like that's the week we've got the first time person who shows up who needs the ASL interpretation. And I think to myself, I did that person a disservice. I told them we were going to have ASL today, and the ASL interpreter's not here. Well, they understand that. I mean, the person can understand, hey, I don't know where they are. They normally are here at the 11 o'clock service, but they're not. So if somebody shows up at your church because of a promotion that you did, but then you're not the kind of church you promoted, I mean, you did a disservice to them. If you said rocking music and your music is dead, you did a disservice to them. So don't trick people in your promotion. I mean, if your church is primarily made up of 50-year-olds in a retirement community, don't put a lot of young families walking on the beach with babies, in your promotion. I used to see churches do this with their logos. A church would have a logo that was a river, and there wasn't a river within 50 miles of that church, Or they would have pictures of people on the beach and they were in the mountains. I mean, it's just, it's in the old marketing parlance, it's called message to market match. And so you want to make sure the message you're promoting in the community matches the market that you're trying to reach. And I think that's just really going to help you because we all have people show up at our church who are needy, and maybe they didn't see a promotion, but we can get them to a church that can help them. For example, I say if you're homeless in the city, the best possible church you could go to was that church on the Lower East Side that I told you about. But if you show up at the Journey, we can get you to that church. If you are a first-generation immigrant from Haiti and you show up at our church and you're a French-speaking Haitian, the best place I can get you to is to the French-speaking Haitian church across town. So I can get you to that church. I can direct you to that church, but we're not the church for you. So I shouldn't be promoting stuff that I can't live up to.
So some of the things the guys should do is maybe look at their bulletin shelves. Maybe a lot of them have these stock bulletin shelves. Reexamine those. Reexamine websites.
Yeah, to get real practical, look at your promotion that's going out and say, is that attractive to my audience? For example, I work with a church pretty closely that has a big ministry to the villages down in Florida. It's not a Journey Network church, but it's one of my coaching alumni churches. Well, in the villages, it's a large retirement community. I don't know, 50,000 people, maybe more. And so if he sent out a promotion that was in really small print, that would probably be a bad message to market match. He should do larger than normal print because when you're dealing with 60-year-olds or 70-year-old retirees, you don't put it in 5-point font. You put it in, 15-point font or something like that, just to give an example. And then that guy is in Florida, so his promotion should be bright, sunshiny. It shouldn't be dark urban colors. But now at our campuses in New York City, we should look like a city. I mean, I shouldn't show pictures of palm trees in New York. I should show pictures of buildings in New York. And so it's a very humbling kind of thing. But once you get it, it really works well for you. Look at who you're reaching and then say, this is the age group, the type of person, the sociographic, the financial demographic that I'm reaching. What in my marketing is going to appeal to that same group. And I talk about this in Launch, in my book Launch, and in the Launch seminar about who you can reach and who you can't reach, and then market accordingly. Because good marketing attracts who you want to reach, and it repels who you don't want to reach. So, for example, you know, I try to say practical teaching and rocking music. So I try to repel the people who want a big choir and who want liturgical services, or people who come expecting verse-by-verse 50-minute sermons. Now, I'm not against all that. I think it's great that we've got a church across the street who does that. But it just means that if I promoted that and they came to our church, I've kind of done a disservice to them. But you see, Scott, what I'm really trying to say is that if you are authentic to who God called you to be, you're going to be able to keep more people. And so figuring out who you are as a church, who you are as a leader, authentically who you are, and then represent that in the community, that's going to give you the best chance to keep as many people as possible.